Here we go into hour number two of Gwen and Chris. Happy Monday to you out there. Chrisello, Tony Gwynn Jr. down at Petco Park. Matt Scraby alongside here in the Odyssey Palace Studios. Coming up, we have a new segment on the program. It's called Fair or Foul. And judging by the way the show has gone today, that segment will probably be a little crazy.
I'm always nervous about new segments because
I'm a little nervous about the rest of the show, the way this is the first hour went.
We're just going to keep cruising straight, Chris.
We have no choice but to keep going along here, but it has been one of stops and starts.
It's a case of the Mondays for all of us for some reason.
Maybe so. Bryce Miller, we appreciate him for putting up with us.
Yes.
And talking a little Padre baseball from the San Diego Union Tribune. Tony will rejoin us for that fair or foul segment. We'll explain at the time of the segment.
Yeah.
Chris versus the fans coming up in the 4 o'clock hour, the big five after that. Going to be doing a daily gambit here shortly. You know, it's a big day around the sports world, if you ask me. I love days like this. You've got a game seven in the Stanley Cup finals.
You do?
And, you know, what a break to have that after the Panthers stormed to win the first three games. It looked like that series is just going to peter out.
Yeah.
Instead, you now have a chance for history to be made tonight if the Oilers can pull it off and win game seven, complete the comeback from 3-0 down. Last team to do it was the LA Kings 10 years ago. They did that in the first round, though. I mean, this would be only the second time in NHL history that a team comes from 3-0 in the finals to win the Stanley Cup. And you got to go back to, you know, my day, 1942.
If I could turn back time. Yeah.
Last time it actually happened. So that's exciting.
I do like that.
Yeah,
I do
the
like
College
that.
Baseball World Series goes down to a final game. I mean, you talk about the pressure on these kids in Nebraska.
They're putting their lives on the line, Chris.
I understand there's a weather warning for this game between Texas A&M and Tennessee.
Yes, there's an excessive heat warning, and it's supposed to be 98 degrees at first pitch.
Should they maybe just put the game off till tomorrow? I mean, do we have to play it today?
Yes, because the TV's waiting for them.
The TV will be there tomorrow. It's not like an NFL playoff game.
It will cool
down. It's the last game of the season.
It will cool down.
Why don't they start it a little later in the evening?
They can do that for sure. I mean,
they're starting at 6 o'clock Central Time.
Yeah.
So that's already later in the evening.
I have already had my cousin in Cincinnati tell me that I am a wimp for the weather because I said it was super hot out here this weekend.
Yeah,
he was like, dude, it hasn't been below 95 in like 2 weeks.
Yeah, this is nothing compared to the rest of the country.
But, it is.
Yeah, Tennessee and Texas A&M will have a game three tonight to decide the College World Series. So you got both of those things going on. Of course, the Padres taking on the Nationals. And, you know, to me, the storyline is very simple. Can the Padres get some runs off a left-handed starting pitcher? It's been 2 months since they've had a good offensive showing against a left-handed starter. 2 full months, 22 starters in a row have held them to 3 runs or less. And 17 of those have held them to 1 or 0. So they usually, you know, don't score anything.
These are the games that really make me nervous because Patrick Corbin has not been good.
No.
The Padres somehow seem to make these not good pitchers look great.
Right. The only pitcher that he's, you know, better than in WHIP is Sandoval of the Angels, and we saw what he did to the Padres a couple of weeks ago.
Oh, no.
So
I feel like maybe this was I say this all the time, and keep in mind I am not looking at the record until August 1st.
Right.
But I feel like maybe this was a turning point this weekend.
What is their record right now?
I couldn't even tell you.
That's right, because you won't look at it
exactly.
Until August 1st.
I think they're exactly 500.
They are.
Okay.
For the 25th time this season.
Yeah, that's another Chrisello stat. You need to start doing like a Chrisello stat segment. Just read all your tweets.
I've got nothing else to do, so I can come up with this kind of stuff. All right, Padres and Nationals tonight. By the way, the Padres are a half game ahead of the Nationals for the final playoff spot currently in the National League. So
this is a big series.
These games are important.
They are
right?
Very
I know
important.
It's only June, but there is a bit of importance to these games as well. All right, let's get to some Daily Gambit action.
Do you like money?
I think about money a lot.
Do you like money without doing anything?
Winning.
Do you want to make money while watching sports?
I think Washington is a mortal lock.
Washington! Woohoo!
If you answered yes, this is your segment. Just don't blame us when you lose.
Well, nothing is ever your fault.
It's your game. Take it.
Gwen and Chris go through the top bets of the day in The Daily Gambit on 97.3 The Fan.
Daily Gambit is our daily sports betting segment here on Gwen and Chris. Please, everybody, gamble responsibly. We will get into some of the bets we made last week. And it starts with, I'm trying to find my sheet. Man, this, again, this show has been tip-top, Chris. Rockies and Nationals, over under 11 for Friday night's game. We both went over this one. It was Nationals 11, Rockies 5, so 16 runs. So
comfortable.
We were good on that.
Victory
very comfortable.
For us there.
Padres minus 1.5 over the Brewers on Friday night. Chris chose the Padres. I couldn't choose the Padres, so I went Brewers. And Padres won 9-5. Comfortably beating their spread on that one. Now, it was the next bet was who was going to pitch more innings on Friday night? Chris Paddock at the A's or Colin Ray pitching against the Padres? Both of us said Paddock. Colin Ray had 5 1/3. Paddock had 4 2/3. So pretty close. Pretty
the
close.
The sheriff
there.
Burned out on me.
Sheriff. Oh, man. People suggesting nicknames because I just want to let everybody know. Chris and I were under the impression it was baseball only. So that's why I didn't name like guys like The Fridge and things like that.
Oh, when we did the nickname thing Friday?
For the countdown, yes. So The Fridge would have definitely been on my list if we
were
thinking,
only doing baseball yes. nicknames. I will tell you that somebody sent in my favorite team nickname on Friday, and I forgot to mention it because we talked about the Gas House Gang and the Big Red Machine and Whiz Kids and Murderers Row, the Lumber Company, but somebody just sent in the reminder of the Milwaukee Brewer teams of the early 80s who were managed by a guy named Harvey Keen, and they hit a lot of home runs, and they were called Harvey's Wallbangers. That was a really good team nickname back in the day.
That
so whoever
one.
Sent that in, thank you.
They
good
just
job.
Don't do it like they used to.
They don't. They don't have team. I mean, what's this year's Padres called? The Padres. Right.
Yeah.
Nickname.
The fighting no, that's no, the fighting Phils.
There's no name.
Can't do it.
No nicknames anymore. Come on, people, get with it.
All right, last ones. Florida at Edmonton. Edmonton minus 1.5 on the puck line. Both of us chose Florida. Both of us were wrong. Edmonton won 5-1. The next one was who was going to save more, the Edmonton goalie or Florida goalie. Who was going to have more saves, I should say.
Right.
I said Edmonton. You said Florida. The Edmonton goalie had 20 saves. The Florida goalie had 16 saves.
You got that one.
I've been picking Edmonton all year, and I have not been able to pick it correctly. Tennessee and Texas A&M, I believe, on Saturday. I don't remember the spread, but we both chose Texas A&M, and they did win 9-5.
Yes, and then Tennessee won Game 2 yesterday 4-1 to force the third game tonight. And, of course, that is on the board for our Daily Gambit. Here we go. Who do you like? Game 3 of the College World Series for all the marbles. Tennessee minus 1.5 over Texas A&M. Scraby, how do you start the week off? With a win or with a loss? Let's
I know nothing out. About these teams. I just looked and saw, unless they're going to change it, Tennessee's wearing black jerseys.
That seems to be kind of silly in that heat.
But the sun might be going down. I don't know. I'm going to go Texas A&M. I don't know why.
I'm going Texas A&M as well.
I know why you're going Texas A&M.
I know. Because I don't want to hear about it from my friend, the Tennessee fan.
the volunteer?
Yeah. 10.5 runs over under for tonight's game in the College World Series finale. Over under 10.5 total runs. I'm going to go under. I think the thinking is that it's the third game, so they won't have the best pitchers.
Mm.
But my thinking is the pressure on these kids. These are college kids playing for everything. I think it's going to be real difficult to hit tonight. Like, just going to be nervous trying to bat. So I'm going to say the 10.5 goes under. What about you?
I've been seeing a lot of high scoring college baseball games.
Some of them?
I'm going to go over.
You're going to go over?
Yeah.
Okay. Let's get to the Stanley Cup final. Game 7, Florida's a goal and a half favorite over Edmonton.
Florida goal and a half favorite over Edmonton.
And Florida's was ahead 3-0, now it's 3-3. Do you ride the wave of Edmonton, Scraby?
I do.
You do?
I do. I think this is pretty incredible.
Yeah.
I don't see how you can get this far and then be like, okay,
let's not do it.
Yeah,
let's not finish
play
it
well.
Off.
Yeah.
You know, Edmonton has outscored them 20-5 over
wow.
the last 11 periods of play. It hasn't even been close.
Not even. Yeah, that's not even
so,
close.
You know, I don't know that Florida, I don't know how they get their mojo back. I will take Edmonton as well. Over under 5.5 goals for game 7. Game 7s are notoriously low scoring. Edmonton may win 2-1. I'll say under. Scraby?
I will say over.
Over for
yeah.
game 7.
Maybe like a 4-2.
Yeah. Okay, that would be over. All right, one more. More saves. Which goalie has more saves? The Edmonton goaltender, Stuart Skinner. The Florida netminder, Sergei Bobrovsky. Scraby, you went with Skinner the other night. It worked out for you.
I'm taking the Florida netfinder.
You're going with Bobrovsky this
time. No, if I think Edmonton wins, that I think... I guess, isn't that how it works, Chris?
Well, I think Edmonton should have more shots, meaning Bobrovsky should have more saves. So I will go with Bobrovsky as well.
All right.
Just because I kind of like saying
Bobrovsky. That is a good one.
Padres are 1.5 runs over the Washington Nationals. I mean, I have to take the odds here, which is that the Padres don't beat lefties. So I'm going to take Washington tonight. I mean, I think I'm using my knowledge. I'm hoping the Padres can find a way to finally break through, but until they do, I got to take Washington plus the runs tonight. Scraby?
I'm going to go with the Padres.
You're saying they are going to break through.
Yep.
And Patrick Corbin is pitching, the lefty for the Nats, over under 5 1/3 innings. So will he get a second
Corbin.
Out in the sixth inning?
5 1/3 innings.
Corbin.
No. Under.
Will he
under.
Get it? No.
Under. No.
Despite,
you've told me too much.
No, he's really, I mean, numerically, really, really not good. But every lefty starter against the Padres goes at least six innings and gives up one run.
It's true, but I'm going to say under.
All right, I'll say over until further notice for Corbin. That's our daily gambit tonight. We'll see how it turns out on the program tomorrow. Should have a Padre lineup coming in shortly. Haven't heard one way or the other about Fernando Tatis Jr.
That's what we're looking out
and
for.
And his potential availability. We'll find out about that, the rest of that, and get you ready for more Padre baseball after a check of traffic on Gwen and Chris. All right, Gwen and Chris returns here. 3:22 is the time. Those of you who've been with us since 2 o'clock today, thanks for hanging with us as we try to work our way through this program. It's just been one of those days where we've just been, off of our rhythm.
Did it just start while I was at
the
studio?
The show just started without you.
I think that might have been the first ever time I've done this, Chris.
Well, I was ready to jump in, fortunately.
I just dropped all your papers on the
and
ground.
And keeping us from having yet another disaster, which has been the story of the show today. But I do have some good news, believe it or not. Coming up, you're going to have a chance to win a pair of tickets to tomorrow's Padres Nationals game. So there's that.
There is that.
We are going to give away a pair of tickets to the game tomorrow night. The first 40,000 fans will receive a Ha-Sung Kim bobblehead. You can grab tickets at padres.com/tickets or stay tuned to this fine program and you'll have a chance to win some Padre National tickets. Coming up, so stay right there. This hour, 97.3 The Fan is brought to you by The Farmer's Dog. Fresh, human-grade dog food. From a healthier weight to more energy, when you switch your dog's food to The Farmer's Dog, the effects can feel... magical. What sorcery is this?
I was waiting for it.
None at all. It's just the real food made for the health of your dogs. Get 50% off your first box. 50%?
Yeah.
Not bad.
That is not bad.
Go to farmersdog.com/radio to find out all about it. Jake Cronenworth had the good weekend series, did he not, Scrabe?
He had a really good weekend.
9 for 18, two homers, one a walk-off. Had a double. He had six consecutive hits at one point. Went 5 for 5, first time in his career.
Yep.
On, what was that, Saturday night?
Yes.
Or no, Friday. Because Thursday he had the walk-off.
I didn't get to watch much of the game on
Saturday. You know, Thursday he had the walk-off, and then Friday he had the 5 for 5.
There we go.
So Jake had a big weekend. Jackson Merrill continuing. 12 extra base hits in his last 17 games. 7 homers. 5 doubles. I mean, this guy... There is nobody out there who could have predicted that he'd be this effective.
No.
This soon.
No.
So Jackson Merrill, just really fantastic. And don't forget, he opened the season batting a comfortable 9th in the batting order, and everybody thought, yeah, that's good. Let's just keep him there. Let him hit his 250, try to learn how to play center field. He's a rookie. We won't expect much of him. Guess what? We're expecting stump from him now.
Yep.
And he's batting 6th a lot of times, 5th even. And he really, you know, is being relied upon for production right now. You know, especially with, you know, I know Manny keeps showing signs of it, but really haven't had a breakout yet from Manny, not the likes of which Manny's used to.
But his stats are way up in the last, like, 30 games.
Yes, I know they are. And Fernando's stats are good, too. But you know that Fernando still has not hit a home run with a runner on base since May 3rd? I mean, that's a long time for a guy of Fernando's ability to, you know, put a crooked number on the board with one swing. Hasn't happened. Fernando's hurt right now. Will he be in the lineup tonight? We don't know yet.
We have some interesting news from Jeff Sanders down at the ballpark. Jeff Sanders saying that minor leaguer Bryce Johnson is here again. For now, only changes Jose Azokar has packed and left the Padres clubhouse. Then he tweeted out maybe a little bit later, Johnny Brito is also packing, but they haven't like sent out any of the actual announcements or roster changes. So
right.
As soon as we get that, we'll let you know.
Because at first, now Bryce Johnson, I think he was spotted yesterday.
Yes.
And I think some people thought he might be there to take Fernando's spot.
Yes.
Fernando goes on the injured list.
But now, Sugar's leaving.
Now, according to Jeff Sanders, excellent reporter for
yes.
the San Diego Union-Tribune, maybe it's Sugar Azokar who is going to be let go.
They
wouldn't be putting him on the injured list if he's packing his bags. He's going.
Yeah, he's going to AAA.
Yeah.
Or someone on the chat, Podzilla. Podzilla's a great chatter, but Prolific said a trade is coming.
Well, we'll all kind of stand by and wait to see what happens. We can tell you this, as far as Fernando's concerned, you Padre fans have got to get with it.
Why?
Because Fernando has fallen out of the top three in the balloting for National League starting outfielder. The three now are Jerkson Profar, Christian Yelich, and Teoscar Hernandez.
Yeah.
So Fernando has fallen to 4th place as far as starting outfielder is concerned. Luis Arraez, who was the early ballot leader at second base, has also fallen out of the lead. He's behind Ketel Marte.
You know, I've been thinking a lot about that.
Okay.
And obviously Luis Arraez is a very valuable player to us here in San Diego, but I don't think he has the appeal nationwide.
Well, people are stupid. I mean, that's all I can say. I mean, the guy's a back-to-back batting champ.
I totally get it.
He handles
totally
the bat like nobody else in
day.
Baseball. You know, I don't know how people can't appreciate Luis Arraez, but here's my thinking on the All-Star voting. I don't like the way they do it now, where you, the fan, can go online and vote up to 5 times a day.
Does seem like a lot.
And you are basically begged by the Padres, and they're not the only ones doing it, right? The Royals are doing it in Kansas City. The Reds do it in anyway. Each team is begging their fan base, go online, vote for your guy, vote for our guy, vote 5 times. Why should I have to vote for our guy if I think somebody else is more deserving? It's the All-Star game. It's not necessarily which fan base can vote the most. That, to me, shouldn't decide it.
No.
But a lot of times that's what does decide it. And in that realm, where are there more fans? Los Angeles, New York, Chicago, Philadelphia? Certainly not San Diego. So if it's just a popularity contest, then tell us it's a popularity contest. But if it's an all-star ballot, at least me, I'm going to try based on who I think should be on the all-star team.
I think,
even though I'm not told to do that, I'm told by, and I'm using the Padres as an example because we're here, but the Padres basically blare it out over the speaker and on the scoreboard 10 times a night.
Yeah.
Vote for our guys, and you can vote as many as 5 times, so get with it.
Yeah. No, I get it. I see it every game, too. Right. I see it on the TV, too. But
yeah.
I think it's a good thing.
I don't
like
that.
If Luis Arraez can't get the recognition, how is Jurickson Profar? Because I feel like I haven't seen that much of Jurickson Profar coverage either.
Profar almost has barged his way onto the team by just having such outstanding numbers all season. But you bring up a point.
Hold on.
Will he hold on?
Hold
your horses. Are you getting some news?
Yes, I got to confirm it. Someone's saying. Tell me where you chatters are getting this from, because
why don't we take a break?
Good
and
call.
If we
Good
have
call.
The news
Good
of
call.
What you think you have,
Good call.
We will pass it along to everybody else when we come back. But there is something afoot. If Jose Azokar is packing his bags, we'll try to figure out what it all means when Gwen and Chris continues. Tony, filling us in from down at Petco Park. A couple of things. This isn't exactly great news for you. Gwen and Chris, 97.3 The Fan. That's the name of the program. That's not the bad news. This is the bad news.
Yeah.
Fernando Tatis Jr. is indeed heading to the disabled, lower the injured list. He is probably not even going to be back in 10 days. Probably. I don't know for sure. It's possible he may be on the injured list through the All-Star break. That's what several reports are saying.
The All-Star break is 3 weeks away, Chris.
That's what I'm saying.
I did read it's his quad. It's not the elbow that got hit.
It's a quad.
Yeah.
It's bothering him. Kevin Acey, our own Annie Heilbrun, saying that it could extend through the All-Star break. I didn't say it will. I said it could. But the likelihood of him just taking 10 days and being right back doesn't sound great.
He's been trying to play through this quad for a couple weeks now.
That's not good news. Here's the other not good news. Yu Darvish will not make his start tomorrow night for the Padres. They were hoping he'd be back in the rotation tomorrow to start against the Nationals. Still has some inflammation in his elbow. So, with those two things in mind, Padres have made a couple of moves. They have sent down Johnny Brito. They have sent down Sugar, Jose Azokar. And coming up to take everybody's place, my guy, Eggy.
Yes, E-Guy.
E-Guy, Eggy Rosario is coming back up. Bryce Johnson, right-handed hitting center fielder, is coming up to the Padres for the first time.
What?
And Adam Mazur's returning because he will make the start tomorrow night, as Darvish will not.
What is the thought behind Azokar being,
other than the fact that he has done nothing?
Well, has he
offensively?
Has he had opportunities too?
To me, when he's had any opportunity, he has not done much with it.
Let me see.
I know he's been a defensive fill-in for.
I mean, if you're going to carry Trent Grisham on a team all year, you might as well carry Jose Azokar on
a
team.
Well, I can tell you, Bryce Johnson's a very swift afoot outfielder.
Yeah, you see, Jose Zocar is only hitting 219 right now.
Right.
So
he has done nothing. And I'm
okay,
sorry
you don't
to
need
say
to put
that.
It like that.
Well, you asked me, so I'm telling you. Bryce Johnson's a very swift, afoot center fielder. He might be able to be a, you know, late inning defensive replacement, make some starts, etc. I think Eggy is a much better bat off the bench.
Not even a contest. He's got the power.
Not even a contest there. So anyway, yeah, but that's bad news. That's bad news. I mean, Fernando's not only on the IL, but maybe through the All-Star break. And Darvish is not well enough to make his start tomorrow. So
that does worry me. This is
those are two bits of bad news. I don't know any other way to couch that.
The last time we talked about Yu Darvish, it was he's on schedule. Everything's okay. We're going to be looking for him to come back here very soon.
Inflammation in the elbow.
I got inflammation in my shoulder right now. And let me tell you, I couldn't pitch.
You're not pitching either.
It really does. It really hurts.
Right. All right.
Some people are saying they're really bummed because they had tickets to see you pitch tomorrow night, and now it's Major time.
Get Major. It's all right. You can see Mackenzie Gore tomorrow night. Look at it that way.
Oh, it's a Mackenzie Gore, Adam Major matchup.
Showdown tomorrow
night. Not to say anything about Adam Major, but he's struggled so far.
Pitched a little bit better last time out.
Okay, that's
true.
Threw
some more strikes in that matchup against the Brewers. All right, we're going to do a little fair or foul. It's a brand new segment. The way this show has gone today,
whew,
I have a feeling this may land foul.
I do too.
But after traffic, we're going to try it.
All right, usually on Mondays, guys, we do Padres Pen Pals, but today we're going to try something new. We're going to try a segment called, because Adam gave me such a hard time about my fair or foul a couple weeks ago, I want to do a segment on fair or foul tweets that I saw over the weekend from people that are Padres fans. I'm not going to identify anyone, and I did help clean up some of these tweets because I think these people were drinking a little bit when they were tweeting this. There's a lot of misspellings, a lot of random, non-incoherent sentences being left on Twitter.
Seems like I think this is a good idea. I mean, because, you know, going through my Padre Twitter feed, I feel like I kind of nod my head at some and say, okay, that makes sense. But many of them, I'm like, what in the world?
I will never forget the time that everybody told, or not everybody, but a few people told Tony he was wrong. He didn't know what he was talking about when it came to playing baseball. So
yeah.
That's how far these people go.
What happened?
Do you remember when you were defending Eric Hosmer and the way he was like scooping a ball and then people were telling you were wrong about it?
Oh, because he stepped back to make a catch from first base, which is something that you need to do sometimes.
I don't even know if it was one of the step back ones.
Right, but
honestly.
Yeah. Yeah,
it was. It might have just been a regular.
Yeah, you didn't know
pick.
What you were. You didn't know anything about baseball on that one. According to the
list, my man was arguing me down. Too
he
much.
Was.
But I will say this: Tony got his best shot back at Twitter the other day on television. Did you guys hear that?
I don't know. What did he say?
Oh yeah, he had a great line. Great line.
What did he say?
I think Don Orsillo was referring to the umpires, balls and strikes, and how there's a checks and balance system now because they, you know, they put their rating score up on the, you know, up on Twitter or wherever they put it after games. And Don Orsillo said, God, I wonder if there's a, you know, if there was a checks and balance system for announcers. And Tony said, there is. It's called Twitter.
Yes. That was a good one, Tony.
Tony was on top of that one.
Did Don get a good little chuckle out of that one?
He did. He did.
That was a good one by my man.
Let's just say he agreed.
That's right. There you go.
I don't ever see bad Don tweets, though.
Well,
ever.
He doesn't deserve any.
Maybe I'm in that
sort master.
Of algorithm. Anyway, let's get started, and I'm going to go ahead and say the tweet, and then you guys are going to say if it's fair or foul. So the first one is going to be this one about Toddy. I'm happy that Toddy seems to be okay after being hit by a pitch, but now you need to wear an elbow guard. Your career depends on your elbow to be healthy. So, Chris, fair or foul? Does his career, or does he need to wear an elbow guard?
Foul. I think he needs to be comfortable up at the plate, and if he feels that includes an elbow guard, then he'll put one on. It's as simple as that. I think you have to be as comfortable as possible up there. It'd probably be the smarter thing to do, but didn't that pitch hit his back elbow, right? I don't think it hit his forearm elbow. I think it hit his underneath his other elbow.
I can't remember now.
I can't remember either.
Yeah, you can't walk up there like you're a knight in shining armor. I mean, you've got to be able to swing
freely.
Can you
be Barry Bonds with that bionic arm that he put on?
Well, he started it all.
He did.
So I'm going to say foul. I'm going to say his comfort is most important.
All right, Tony, fair or foul on this? Does Toddy need to wear an elbow guard?
Man, I feel like I'd be a hypocrite if I said yes. I didn't wear one. It is a comfort thing, man. And if you're okay wearing it in the elbow, you know, then you should be able to allow to do how approach it how you want. Some guys wear guards, some guys don't. I always felt like it was restrictive, you know. And I'm, you know, based on how Toddy moves, I'm sure that's exactly how he feels.
Yeah, I mean he's a human contortionist.
I don't know, was a Gumby-ish character, I guess.
He is.
I'm here to tell you guys and make the admission now on national radio that in all of the time that I pitched, from Little League to Pony League to high school to college to San Diego State, I never wore a cup.
Oh, I don't think that's a big deal, is it, Tony?
No, I never wore a cup.
Yeah.
On the mound, ever. I just, there's no way I
could be comfortable. I don't think Luis Campusano's wearing one.
Well, I don't know.
He's definitely wearing one.
He should be.
Or else he would be dead still.
Or he would be out of baseball.
Isn't that
right
an admission
now
of just being stupid? I mean, to be out on the mound and not have a cup in case?
I always looked at it as a skillful thing. Like, you know what I'm saying? Like, my hands is that good. I don't need a cup.
And then when you get hit there, it's like, damn,
man. You know, the funny thing is the times I got hit, or like on, you know, a base hit up the middle and like it just kind of go down and get in, it might like pop up and like catch you.
Yeah.
That's really the only time I ever got
you
hit.
Were in center field. You're a little further away than I was.
Yeah.
Well, anyway.
I can't remember too many pitchers taking one off.
Okay. See,
all right. Know? So I was in the majority maybe.
That's really funny though. All right. Next one. Tony, you're first. And some of these are kind of negative. Just preparing you guys.
Bring it.
This Tom Cosgrove is... Today's a tough day. This Tom Cosgrove experiment is not working. Please give up on it. We got lucky last season. Fair or foul, Tony?
I mean, I don't recall him getting in any trouble since he's been back. So I'd say that is not fair.
That's foul, yes.
Foul.
Yes.
Not fair. Foul.
Yes.
Yeah, I think right now they need the arm, A. Bullpen's pretty taxed. And after starting the year at the club and being sent down, you're bringing him back up. See if he's been able to correct some of the issues he had. I don't see a problem with this.
Fair or foul, Chris?
It's way foul.
Thank you, Tony.
It's way foul. The only pitcher you can be critical of, in my mind, that it would be fair would be if you said, we spent too much money on Yuki Matsui. That I would consider to be a fair tweet based on his performance so far.
Well, we should wait till the next one.
Oh, is that
first
coming up? I didn't look ahead.
Don Orsillo. This one starts with Don Orsillo, quote, Yuki Matsui coming into the game for the Padres, and quote, me, game's over.
Uh-oh, okay.
Chris, fair or foul?
I was looking ahead. All right, well, that's actually foul. I mean, that's absurd. I don't know what his record is in terms of when he's in games or not games, but, you know, I think I gave you my feeling on Yuki.
He needs
you know,
to pitch better.
In the last comment. I expected more from this guy, and I think most of it has been his, you know, reluctance or inability to throw strikes. I don't know how many times he's walked the first hitter he comes into face, but it sure seems like it happens way too much. So to me, he's got pretty good stuff, Tony. So my message to him, and I'm sure their message to him, has been trust your stuff. Get it in the strike zone. He's making a lot of money. What was the contract for him, Scrag?
I'll look it up.
You know these things.
I'll look it up.
You know, it was a big off season signing. And
I don't know that it was that much, though.
Yeah. It really wasn't? Okay.
I think for what the Padres were going,
I think that was their big offseason. But I don't recall them spending a ton.
Let's see. He's getting paid this year. He signed a 5-year, $28 million. Quite a bit of money, but he's only being paid $3.25 this year.
Yeah. He's pitching like $3.25.
Oh, wow.
In my mind.
Maybe foul, Chris.
That might be foul, but I need him to pitch better. Come on, Yuki. Have a good second
half. Next year
half.
He does make $8 million.
He's
third
have
year
have
he makes $14 million. Tony, did you already give your response to this? No, you haven't.
Yeah,
no.
I have not.
But you, I'm thinking you think it's foul, right?
What was it? Oh, game's over.
Yeah, game's over.
Yeah, that's probably foul, but Chris is right. He has, for lack of a better term, he has been reluctant to be in the zone, it seems like, at times. And, you know, the leadoff walk, it does happen quite a bit. And so I think Yuki's going to have to pitch better as the season, as we get going. Because where the Padres are at now, with the bullpen being taxed, they kind of need to lean on him a little bit. But they haven't been able to because of the command issues. And so, yeah, I think the initial question is foul.
Mm-hmm.
But I think Chris is right.
Okay. Let's go to a positive one, guys. Jackson Merrill has been incredible. But this person was starting a debate. Jackson Merrill is going to be the best rookie to ever play in a Padres uniform. Tony?
No.
Foul.
Okay. Foul.
I should have said fair foul. Who is it, your dad, right?
Off the top of my head, I know. Well, obviously Tony's dad was fantastic in his first season, but Benito was a rookie of the year and had a 37-game hit streak.
There you go.
Or 34-game hit streak his rookie season. I mean, but Jackson Merrill's, you know, finally getting some attention. I don't know if you saw.
He should be the leader now.
He's not. According to ESPN.com's midseason awards, he now ranks fourth in the National League rookie race.
Is Andy Pajas still above him?
No. The three that were ahead of him in this particular rating were Yamamoto of the Dodgers was third.
His tricep.
Joey Ortiz of the Brewers, who just left town, was second.
That boy good.
Yeah, he is pretty good.
And Bryce Wilson of the Brewers was first on the rookie of the year.
That's going to change.
I think Jackson can end up ahead of all three of those guys. Certainly, if he keeps up doing
the other Jackson
doing.
Just fell off. Jackson Churio.
He's having a better year than all those dudes, in my opinion.
I agree. Jackson Merrill's and another great defensive play yesterday.
Oh yeah,
goes unnoticed because they lost, but you know you try to take second base on him on a fly ball, and he nabs the guy easily.
I love this kid. And every, games, his, you win stupid prizes.
His
congratulations, Mr. Black.
Yes. Yeah, you played yourself.
I don't know what he was thinking.
But don't you think Tony Jackson Merrill's baseball IQ is way high for a 21-year-old rookie? His IQ of the game is he just seems to get it.
Yeah.
Yeah. No, he understands the game for sure. He's not your typical 21-year-old.
He's not. All right. Let's see. How much time? Okay, we got a couple minutes left. Let me go to this one. And the rest of them are actually about Jackson Merrill, which doesn't surprise me. But it says, I would give everything I had to be Jackson Merrill for a day. Fair or foul, Chris?
Everything I had to be Jackson Merrill for a day.
Now, not really everything you have, but...
Yeah. No, 21 sounds pretty good when you're my age.
Playing baseball?
Playing starting center field for the Padres. I think I'd give that a shot.
Okay, so it's a fair
And having the kind of success he's having. So, yeah, I might say fair.
See, Tony's a little bit different.
Depends how old you are, but I think in my age, you're going to take this one any day.
Tony's going to be a little bit different because he actually
did
get to
again?
Play. I would give everything I had to be Jackson Merrill for a day.
Yeah, see, Tony got to do this.
Yeah.
Not many of us did, so...
To be Jackson Merrill for a day.
Only one day?
Yeah, that's a little
too... Yeah,
that's
not long enough. I need at least for the rest of the season.
Yeah, no, Jackson is... he's getting to do, you know, what I love to do. He gets to be on a big league field. He gets to run out to center field every day. And, you know, he's playing with a more talented team up and down than I played with.
Oh, but, I didn't know that. Sorry. I'm just commenting for no reason at all, Tony.
She's throwing shade on Jerry Hairston Jr., not you, Tony.
No. Sorry.
I don't think Jerry would agree with me. I mean,
that this team's more talented than that one.
Yeah. They cost a lot more money than any of us did.
True.
So, nonetheless, yeah, no, I wouldn't. I don't know. I think I like mine. Like my life.
Yeah, you got a pretty sweet life.
Yeah, Tony's life is good. My life, you know, leads a lot to be desired.
Chris, we had a nice birthday for you on
it was a
Saturday
nice weekend.
Night,
I appreciate that.
So you
that.
Have plenty of friends. Chris I is do. A guy who, like, may not seem like he likes people, but Chris has lots of friends. Like, an incredible amount of friends.
I'm a good guy.
All right, usually on Mondays, guys, we do Padres Pen Pals, but today we're going to try something new. We're going to try a segment called, because Adam gave me such a hard time about my fair or foul a couple weeks ago, I want to do a segment on fair or foul tweets that I saw over the weekend from people that are Padres fans. I'm not going to identify anyone, and I did help clean up some of these tweets because I think these people were drinking a little bit when they were tweeting this. There's a lot of misspellings, a lot of random, non-incoherent sentences being left on Twitter.
It seems like I think this is a good idea. I mean, because, you know, going through my Padre Twitter feed, I feel like I kind of nod my head at some and say, okay, that makes sense. But many of them, I'm like, what in the world?
I will never forget the time that everybody told, or not everybody, but a few people told Tony he was wrong. He didn't know what he was talking about when it came to playing baseball. So
yeah.
That's how far these people go.
What happened?
Do you remember when you were defending Eric Hosmer and the way he was like scooping a ball and then people were telling you were wrong about it?
Oh, because he stepped back to make a catch from first base, which is something that you need to do sometimes.
I don't even know if it was one of the step back ones.
Right,
though,
but
honestly.
Yeah,
it was. It might have just been a regular.
Yeah, you didn't
pick.
Know what you were. You didn't know anything about baseball on that one. According to
my
the
man was, my man was arguing me down. Too
he
much.
Was.
But I will say this: Tony got his best shot back at Twitter the other day on television. Did you guys hear that?
I don't know. What did he say?
Oh yeah, he had a great line. Great line.
What did he say?
I think Don Orsillo was referring to the umpires, balls and strikes, and how there's a checks and balance system now because they, you know, they put their rating score up on the, you know, up on Twitter or wherever they put it after games. And Don Orsillo said, God, I wonder if there's a, you know, if there was a checks and balance system for announcers. And Tony said, there is. It's called Twitter.
Yes. That was a good one, Tony.
Tony was on top of that one.
Did Don get a good little chuckle out of that one?
He did. He did.
That was a good one by my man.
Let's just say he agreed.
That's right. There you go.
I don't ever see bad Don tweets, though.
Well,
ever.
He doesn't deserve any.
Maybe I'm in that sort of algorithm. Anyway, let's get started, and I'm going to go ahead and say the tweet, and then you guys are going to say if it's fair or foul. So the first one is going to be this one about Toddy. I'm happy that Toddy seems to be okay after being hit by a pitch, but now you need to wear an elbow guard. Your career depends on your elbow to be healthy. So, Chris, fair or foul? Does his career, or does he need to wear an elbow guard?
Foul. I think he needs to be comfortable up at the plate, and if he feels that includes an elbow guard, then he'll put one on. It's as simple as that. I think you have to be as comfortable as possible up there. It'd probably be the smarter thing to do, but didn't that pitch hit his back elbow, right? I don't think it hit his forearm elbow. I think it hit the underneath his other elbow.
I can't remember now.
I can't remember either.
Yeah, you can't walk up there like you're a knight in shining armor. I mean, you've got to be able to swing
freely.
You can
be Barry Bonds with that bionic arm that he put on.
Well, he started it all.
He did.
So I'm going to say foul. I'm going to say his comfort is most important.
All right, Tony, fair or foul on this? Does Toddy need to wear an elbow guard?
Man, I feel like I'd be a hypocrite if I said yes. I didn't wear one. It is a comfort thing, man. And if you're okay wearing it in the elbow, you know, then you should be able allowed to do how approach it how you want. Some guys wear guards, some guys don't. I always felt like it was restrictive, you know. And I'm, you know, based on how Toddy moves, I'm sure that's exactly how he feels.
Yeah, I mean he's a human contortionist.
I don't know, was a Gumby-ish character, I guess.
He is.
I'm here to tell you guys and make the admission now on national radio that in all of the time that I pitched from Little League to Pony League to high school to college to San Diego State, I never wore a cup.
Oh, I don't think that's a big deal, is it, Tony?
No, I never wore a cup.
Yeah.
On the mound, ever. I just, there's no way
I
could
Luis
be comfortable.
I don't think Luis Campusano's wearing one.
Well, I don't know. I think he's definitely wearing one.
Or else he would be dead still.
Or he would be out of baseball.
Isn't that
right
an admission of just being stupid? I mean, to be out on the mound and not have a cup in case?
I always looked at it as a skillful thing. Like, you know what I'm saying? Like, my hands is that good. I don't need a cup.
And then when you get hit there, it's like, damn,
you know,
skillfulness.
The funny thing is the times I got hit, or like on, you know, a base hit up the middle and like it just kind of go down and get it. It might like pop up and like catch you.
Yeah.
That's really the only time I ever got
you
hit.
Were in center field. You're a little further away than I was. But
yeah.
Well, anyway.
I can't remember too many pitchers taking one off.
Okay. See,
all right. So I was in the majority maybe.
That's really funny though. All right. Next one. Tony, you're first. And some of these are kind of negative. Just preparing you guys.
This
Tom Cosgrove is... Today's a tough day. This Tom Cosgrove experiment is not working. Please give up on it. We got lucky last season. Fair or foul, Tony?
I don't recall him getting in any trouble since he's been back. So I'd say that is not fair.
That's foul, yes.
Foul.
Yes.
<Not fair. laughs> Foul.
Yes.
I think right now they need the arm, A. Bullpen's pretty taxed. And after starting the year at the club and being sent down, you're bringing him back up. See if he's been able to correct some of the issues he had. I don't see a problem with this.
Fair or foul, Chris?
Thank you, Tony. It's way foul. The only pitcher you can be critical of, in my mind, that it would be fair, would be if you said we spent too much money on Yuki Matsui. That I would consider to be a fair tweet based on his performance so far.
Well, we should wait till the next one.
Oh, is that coming up? I didn't look ahead.
Don Orsillo. This one starts with Don Orsillo, quote, Yuki Matsui coming into the game for the Padres, and quote, me, game's over.
Uh-oh, okay.
Chris, fair or foul?
I was looking ahead. All right, well, that's actually foul. I mean, that's absurd. I don't know what his record is in terms of when he's in games or not games, but, you know, I think I gave you my feeling on Yuki.
He needs to pitch better.
In the last comment, I expected more from this guy, and I think most of it has been his reluctance or inability to throw strikes. I don't know how many times he's walked the first hitter he comes into face, but it sure seems like it happens way too much. So to me, he's got pretty good stuff, Tony. So my message to him, and I'm sure their message to him, has been trust your stuff. Get it in the strike zone. He's making a lot of money. What was the contract for him, Scrape? You know these things.
I'll look it up.
You know, it was a big off-season signing. And
I don't know that it was that much, though.
It really wasn't? Okay.
I think for the Padres, it was their big off-season. But I don't recall them spending a ton
of money. Let's see. He's getting paid this year. He signed a five-year, $28 million. Quite a bit of money, but he's only being paid $3.25 this year.
Yeah. He's pitching like $3.25.
Oh, wow.
In my mind.
That
might be foul, but I need him to pitch better. Come on, Yuki, have a good second half.
Next year he does make $8 million.
He's gonna
third
have to
year
have a
he makes $14 million. Tony, did you already give your response to this? No, you haven't. Yeah,
well, I have not.
But I'm thinking you think it's foul, right?
What was it? Oh, game's over.
Yeah, game's over.
Yeah, that's probably foul. But Chris is right. He has, for lack of a better term, he has been reluctant to be in the zone, it seems like, at times. And, you know, the leadoff walk, it does happen quite a bit. And so I think Yuki's going to have to pitch better as we get going. Because where the Padres are at now, with the bullpen being taxed, they kind of need to lean on him a little bit. But they haven't been able to because of the command issues. And so... Yeah, I think the initial question is foul, but I think Chris is right.
Okay, let's go to a positive one, guys. Jackson Merrill has been incredible. But this person is starting was starting a debate. Jackson Merrill is going to be the best rookie to ever play in a Padres uniform. Tony.
No.
Foul.
Okay. Foul.
I should have said fair foul. Foul. Who is it? It's your dad, right?
Off the top of my head, I know. Well, obviously, Tony's dad was Benito. Fantastic in his first season, but Benito was a rookie of the year and had a 37-game hit streak.
There you go.
Or 34-game hit streak his rookie season. But Jackson Merrill's, you know, finally getting some attention. I don't know if you saw.
He should be the leader now.
He's not. According to ESPN.com's midseason awards, he now ranks fourth in the National League rookie race.
Is Andy Pajas still above him?
No. The three that were ahead of him in this particular rating were Yamamoto of the Dodgers was third.
His tricep.
Joey Ortiz of the Brewers, who just left town, was
that
second.
That boy good.
Yeah, he is pretty good.
And Bryce Wilson of the Brewers was first on the rookie of the year.
That's going to change.
I think Jackson can end up ahead of all three of those guys. Certainly, if he keeps up to
the other Jackson,
doing.
Just fell off. Jackson Churio.
He's having a better year than all those dudes, in my opinion.
I agree. Jackson Merrill's and another great defensive play yesterday.
Oh yeah,
goes unnoticed because they lost, but you know you try to take second base on him on a fly ball, and he nabs the guy easily.
I love this kid. And every, games, you win stupid prizes. Congratulations, Mr. Black.
Yes. Yeah, you played yourself.
I don't know what he was thinking.
But don't you think Tony Jackson Merrill's baseball IQ is way high for a 21-year-old rookie? His IQ of the game is he just seems to get it.
Yeah.
Yeah, no, he understands the game for sure. He's not your typical 21-year-old.
He's not. All right. Let's see. How much time? Okay, we got a couple minutes left. Let me go to this one. And the rest of them are actually about Jackson Merrill, which doesn't surprise me. But it says, I would give everything I had to be Jackson Merrill for a day. Fair or foul, Chris?
Everything I had to be Jackson Merrill for a day.
Now, not really everything you have, but...
Yeah. No, 21 sounds pretty good when you're my age.
Playing baseball?
Playing starting center field for the Padres. I think I'd give that a shot.
Okay, so it's a fair
and
treat.
Having the kind of success he's having. So, yeah, I'm going to say fair.
See, Tony's a little bit different.
Depends how old you are, but I think in my age, you're going to take this one any day.
Tony's going to be a little bit different because he actually did get to play. I would give everything I had to be Jackson Merrill for a day.
Yeah, see, Tony got to do this. Yeah. Not many of us did, so...
To be Jackson Merrill for a day.
Only one day?
Yeah, that's a little
too...
Yeah,
that's not long enough. I need at least for the rest of the season.
Yeah, no, Jackson is... he's getting to do, what I love to do. He gets to be on a big league field. He gets to run out to center field every day. He's playing with a more talented team up and down than I played with.
Oh, but, I didn't know that. Sorry. I'm just commenting for no reason at all, Tony.
Jerry Hairston Jr., you, Tony.
No. Sorry, Tony.
I don't think Jerry would agree with me. I mean,
that this team's more talented than that one.
Yeah. It's big. They cost a lot more money than any of us
did.
That's true. So. Nonetheless, I wouldn't. I don't know. I think I like mine. Like my life.
Yeah, you got a pretty sweet life.
Yeah, Tony's life is good. My life, leads a lot to be desired.
Chris, we had a nice birthday for you on Saturday.
It was a nice weekend.
Night,
I appreciate
so you
that.
You have plenty of friends. Chris is a guy who may not seem like he likes people, but Chris has lots of friends. Like an incredible amount of friends.
I'm a good guy away from the mic.
Foul. I call foul on that.
Call it foul.
All right, maybe we'll build on this fair foul.
Yeah, it was a pretty good idea. I think you just need more hardcore tweets.
This kind of
made for the negative hard tweets.
Yeah.
I think that whole concept is.
All right, well then.
But you're going to have to find some fair, though, too, even if they come off as negative.
No, that's true. I'm going to look for harder in the paint tweets for everybody. All right, when we get back, Chris versus the fans, 833-288-0973. Get qualified for a chance to win a trip to Las Vegas if you beat Chris. Next.